I'll just open us up in prayer and we'll start this morning's devotional. Heavenly Father, just thank you once more for this new day, for allowing us to come here to spend our first few moments awake in your presence. We pray that you'll speak to us through your word today, through your devotional, and just come and touch your children this morning. Just give us our daily bread and our spiritual bread today, and may we just be able to just be transformed by it. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Hige. I'm one of the leaders here at church. And we're going through the One devotional books. So if you need one, I don't know if Pastor Eugene can hand a couple out before we start. But we're on to day two now. It's Thursday, 23rd of February. I'll wait for the devotionals to be handed out. Okay, cool. So if we turn to Thursday, 23rd of February, I'll read the passage. Then what I'll do is I'll just read the small devotional given by John Percival today, and then I've just got a few thoughts I'd like to share as well. So Mark 1, 16 to 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We live in an instant world. Instant messaging has revolutionized the way we communicate. Email, Facebook, Skype, tweeting and blogging have become indispensable to our fast-paced life. Our society relies on fast food, breaking news and instant noodles. Waiting for a letter is almost a thing of the past. Yet we have much to learn about instant obedience from some weather-beaten fishermen with rough hands. Jesus' personal authority is such that he simply gives the order to follow me, and they leave behind family, possessions and security, even though they don't know where they are going. There is no argument, no delay, no excuse, only immediate compliance with Jesus' words. Jesus still expects the same from us today. The urgency of his mission requires an immediate response. His authority is so great that when we hear his call, there is no option but to follow him, trust his provision, and joyfully serve at once. So as I was just spending a bit of time yesterday meditating on the passage, I just say I've got a few thoughts. So this, as you know, in the book of Mark, is the first calling of the disciples. Jesus is coming along and comes on the scene, and he sees these group of fishermen. One thing I recognized, it was quite interesting that out of all the first disciples that he called, these are the people that he's going to be using to spread the good news, that he's going to minister to personally for 3 years, and these are going to be the cornerstone of Christianity for centuries and millennia to come. It's interesting that he chooses fishermen as his first sort of disciples. He doesn't go to the temple courts. He doesn't use the learned and the rich. He doesn't go to the schools or those who have a good knowledge of the Talmud, but just uses simple fishermen. And the first point I took away was, that's actually good news for us. I find sometimes, we walk around and in our quiet times with God, we say, "God, what is it that I can do for you? What have I got? What talents have I got that I can do for you? Now, this person is smarter than I am. This person knows the Bible more than I am. This person is a great worship leader. But what about me?" And, this example that he gives here is that with a willing and obedient heart, God can use anyone. He can really, truly use anyone. And he just demonstrates that. And as it says, Paul says, so that we don't boast of ourselves. It's God working through us. And that's good news for each and every one of us sitting here in this room. I was looking up the quotes about following. So I know that's the word he uses several times in this passage here. And Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, quoted, "Who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader." And I think Jesus recognized that these men were going to be leaders of the church, leaders of Christianity, leaders of faith. But to have that attribute, they had to be a good follower as well. Be able to follow obediently, follow wholeheartedly, follow even sometimes when they didn't understand. And Jesus himself led that example. In John 5:19, he says, Jesus gave him this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You know, Jesus said, declared himself, that he followed only what God showed him, and that was his whole ministry. Whatever the Father's doing, that's what I'm going to be doing. And with that example, he laid that down to his disciples as well. I think, as we're just going through the passages, it says in verse 16, which is the first sentence, as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. I recognize that it's interesting that his brother Simon and his brother Andrew, they didn't go and seek Jesus and say, hey, I want to be your disciples, or hey, I want to follow you. But Jesus was just walking through, obviously praying and dialoguing with God, and he saw them where they were in their work environment. And I just found that encouraging as well. I mean, not all of us here are pastors. Not all of us here are called to be missionaries or ministers. But Jesus truly will see you and meet you in the environment that you're in. You know, whether you're fishing by the sea, whether you're teaching, whether you're in banking, or you're in finance, or in corporate, or studying, that's where Jesus will meet you. You know, he calls us to all to different types of things. But the example that he gave here is they were simply fishing. That was their job. That was their vocation. But yet he came into their lives and was able to call them into ministry from that environment. And again, that's so applicable to us. And it again just goes back to the question that sometimes we feel that to become an effective witness or to become someone who really is going to be used for God's purpose, we have to like give it all up and go become a pastor or go become a missionary. But again, the word here, you know, it shows that he really comes into the environment that you're in and uses what you are currently doing for his work. The other thing that I found quite encouraging was in verse 17, the sentence later, it says, Jesus said to them, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. It's quite interesting. So he actually gives sort of a command, and he gives also a bit of a statement. He obviously asks them to follow him, but he also gives them a bit of a clue as what this journey is going to be about. He doesn't just say, follow me and then let's just go, but it says, you know, I'll make you fish for people. In the way I was drawing that was that he gives them a little bit of a glimpse of a vision and a purpose that he wants, a life that they want to lead. It's not just come and follow me and they're sort of left clueless, but with this example saying, I'll make you fish for people, he gives them a glimpse of the life that they will be leading. It reminded me of Proverbs 29:18. In the NASB it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Or the King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So the fact that he sort of plants this in their hearts to start with is something, again, that sometimes we need to seek that. Now, he calls us to follow him, but then usually more often than not, he also gives us indication of which area to follow him in, which area he wants us to be called to. And with that vision and purpose, it, you know, galvanizes our life and becomes sort of the bedrock of what their ministry was about, was to fish for people. He uses their talents and experiences for his work. I was just trying to recall, because obviously this passage about the first disciples and they were fishermen. I think I went fishing a very long time ago in the States. We're visiting friends out in New Jersey, and there's a son there who's about 2 or 3 years younger than me, and the dad liked to take the son out fishing. That was like their bonding time. So I, for those of you that know, I'm from the UK. I was in the States. It was a summertime, and this one Saturday, they invited me along. So I was like, okay, cool. I've never been fishing before, but it'd be interesting to check it out. The weather was nice and stuff. And one thing I immediately recognized is that fishing obviously takes a lot of skill. I just thought, you know, you put your worm or your bait on the hook, you draw your line, and you know, wherever this was a man-made lake, so there was supposed to be fish there and everything. I thought you just draw your line and you know, the fish is going to be coming immediately. But I realized that there was an element of skill to it. But more importantly than that, I realize there needs to be a lot of patience and persistence. Many times you put your line in, up will come a piece of junk or a tiny fish, and you know, you'd really have to wait for that big fish to sort of come. And I sort of just meditate on that in a bit, and I realize that, as you say, sometimes you cast your rod, a big fish comes straight away. Sometimes it takes many times. Sometimes a lot of junk comes in or a small fish come in before you really catch that big fish. And in some ways, you know, same can be said of ministry. You know, these men, they're going to be out there winning souls. Sometimes as they evangelize, someone's going to accept Christ straight away, and you know, it's going to be great. But sometimes they're going to need patience and persistence with the people around them to minister to them and really pray for them, intercede, for them to really come to know Christ. And sometimes as they minister, you know, some people can accept it immediately, as we know the parable of the mustard of the seeds on the path, but then their spiritual life isn't going to be ready. It's going to be a bit sort of, I'll say, a little bit junky, in that they're, you know, when persecution comes, they're going to fall away. So I recognize that as fishermen, they've learned the art of persistence and patience, and that would tread them so, you know, amazingly in their ministries to come. And again, that's the same of us. You know, whatever talents that you may feel are undeserving of God's work, I mean, he can use anything. He can use every attribute of your personality. He can use every attribute of your work environment. He can use every attribute of your intellect. You know, as I said, these fishermen probably thought, what have I got to offer God? But a fisherman's life of humble obedience, a fisherman's life of being very patient day by day, being very persistent in their work, of getting up early in the mornings to go out and cast their nets, and working long, long, hard hours. Now, these are all attributes that just help them so amazingly in their ministries ahead. And it wasn't about knowing the law, it wasn't about being eloquent speakers, but it's these other attributes that Jesus was able to tap into and really use for his kingdom. The final thing in verse 20, it says, which is the last sentence actually, it says, immediately called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. I recognize that, obviously, we can see that the fishermen left everything behind. They left their vocations. They left their friends. In the case of James and John, they also left their inheritance. I mean, it recognized here that this was their father's business. In the day, obviously, trades would be handed down to their children and to their sons, etc. And it must have been a flourishing business, as his father was there. They had hired men as well. And so, you know, they weren't just leaving behind their environment. They were leaving behind their future as well, their inheritance, things they may be passing down to their children. I recognize that they, whatever happened in that moment where they said, okay, I'll follow you, God obviously tapped into their spirit, and they recognized that there was an eternal inheritance that they'd be receiving. It wasn't just about what they'd see in the physical. It wasn't about, oh, I've got a successful business I'm going to inherit, that's going to get passed on to my children. But they recognized that Jesus was a man that was different to any other man that they'd met, that there was a sense of eternity and authority in the way he spoke to them. And that really must have rung true in their spirits. From 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, verse 3 to 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. They obviously recognize quite quickly that things of this world are very temporary. Things of this world are very fickle. The fishing business that they had could easily be gone the next day. But the life they were called to in Jesus Christ was an eternal inheritance calling. That would be lifting up treasures in heaven, which, you know, they would be able to just lay down at Jesus' feet for centuries and millennia to come. So, I mean, going on to some of the points, and especially that last point, I do feel sometimes for me personally, when I'm dialoguing with God, there are times in my life where I either lay down to him that sacrifice that I've made, or I complain about, well, this is what, Lord, you know, I'm going through a tough time because of what I'm giving up, or this is what I've done, and stuff. And yet, in reflection, I realize that for many of us sitting in here in this room, I know some of us have got family members who don't believe, some of us have got parents who don't believe, and obviously that can be quite troubling, quite taxing. There really isn't too much, I would say, that the modern-day believer, especially in the Western world, has sacrificed for their belief as a Christian. I was reading an article on Facebook the other day about North Korea again, and I was reminded once more that we live in an area, especially here in Asia, where so many Christians are literally leaving everything behind to follow Christ. Just as the early disciples did, they're leaving their family, they're leaving their friends, they're leaving their vocations, truly just to confess their faith and to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that really just prompted questions in me, like, you know, what have I truly left behind? Sometimes how difficult is it, the persecution, sort of quote-unquote, that I get, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's with family, and what do I really have to complain sometimes in terms of my walk here in faith, in Christ, in Hong Kong at Solomon's Porch? You know, we live in a city here where we can freely worship. Again, that's something that's not available in many countries and for many believers, especially in places like China, which is right on our doorstep, North Korea, Burma, Laos. So all these thoughts really just came to me, just recognizing once again these early disciples truly sacrificed everything to walk this life of faith, to follow Christ, and to really have that to not just encourage me, but also, I guess in some parts, be a mirror reflection of my life as to what have I sacrificed. The complaints sometimes I make about the things I have sacrificed, are they really justified in some essence? And really just to move forward in my faith life from there. So with that, I think Yvain is leading worship. And as she leads, just let's just spend a moment in reflection. We just draw from the points that are in the devotional book. Yeah, as Yvain just starts up, you know, spend a moment reflecting on what have you left behind to follow Jesus in your personal life, in your family life. Why do you think it's worth it? I mean, why do you think we live this life of faith? And on a second note, you know, what areas of your life do you feel Jesus calling you to? Whether it's in church, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your family. Are you able to commit to the instant obedience that the fishermen displayed so evidently here? Or do we spend a lot of our time sort of procrastinating, a lot of our time almost even arguing with God as to why we should obey, as to why we should do this? And, you know, and what does it mean for you to leave behind family, possessions and security? The fishermen grabbed hold of something quite quickly, that there's an eternal inheritance out there for us. And the things of the world, although they seem amazing at the beginning, it's all temporal. And it's not to say that God's not going to bless you, as he will, but what is it truly that you're leaving behind? What do these things mean to you in the context of a life of faith? So let's just meditate on those things as Yvain leads us during this time of worship.
Oceans rise and thunders roar.
Yeah, just spend the moment as Yvain still plays, just as the song says, just asking God to give strength to be still, to be able to hear his voice to those areas he's calling us to, and also to strengthen us, to give us the faith and the strength to be obedient to follow him, not to argue or disagree, not to procrastinate and just drag things out, but really truly give us strength. And we need God's strength to do that. There's so many things he calls us to, so many things he calls us to be obedient to, and without the strength of God, without the strength of the Spirit, in our own flesh, it's so difficult to do. So let's just spend this moment really crying out to God and asking us to give us that strength, give us that faith to be obedient to the call that he's given on our lives. Lord Father, we want to come before you and confess we're so sorry for those times when we haven't responded to your word obediently and quickly, but yet we've responded with arguments and delays or excuses. And forgive us and help us to obey quickly, joyfully and immediately. And thank you that the joy of knowing you and the hope of glory far outweighs anything that we may have left behind. Help us become fishers of men. Thank you for making us fishers of men. Wherever we are today, may we just be obedient to your call. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. So let's just turn to the corporate prayer. Let's just spend this moment covering our community. One of the things he calls us to is prayer, and we're here. And let's just cover those who've got cancer. Let's cover those who've got growth, those who are going through chemotherapy. These are members of our body of Christ here and their family members. So let's just pray for them and pray for God's healing hand to come into their lives. Continue to pray for those members of our congregation who have family members who aren't saved as well, that not only is there physical healing but there's spiritual healing as well. And for those who have infirmities, for Alan Lunsford and Benji and Katie, and also can you remember Jamie and Ethan for their fevers, and for Jamie's mother who had a sharp pain in her kidneys last week, and also for those who are seeking just jobs as well. Let's just cover that. Let's pray for our mission focus today. Let's really cover the missionaries and the nations there on the screen for Kenya and Nagoya in Japan, for their ministry there, and for that nation as a whole. It's a country that just doesn't know Christ. So much spiritual warfare going on. Let's just cover Kenny. Let's cover Japan. Let's cover Thailand as well, and Rachel, who's up in Chiang Mai. And also, just from what I mentioned earlier, for North Korea as well, the persecuted church, for Chris Kim, and all the missionaries there who are just daily living out these lives that the fishermen lived, where they're being persecuted for their faith. Let's just cover the mission focus right now. Pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and Pastor Carol. She leads that. The nursery ministry for Pamela. For SP youth and Pastor Nate as he helps that youth ministry grow. And for the men and women's ministry that Lisa as well is helping to corner. Let's pray that these ministries are just so glorifying to God, and that where helpers are needed, helpers come. Where people feel called to serve, they serve. And that these would just be such a blessing to the members they touch here at Solomon's Porch. Just pray for RSP ministries as well. Let's also cover the house churches that we're meeting tonight. We have Condit Road with Sandro and May. We have Kennedy with Will and Tracy, and PPHV with Angie and Rachel. Let's just cover those meetings. Let's cover the leaders. Let's cover the members. Let's cover just there'll be times of such amazing fellowship and ministry that those who have got work schedule conflicts, they'll be clear during this day, and they'll be able to come out and join in these house church meetings tonight. Let's just cover those house church meetings as well. And let's also just pray for our anniversary revival conference that's starting tomorrow. at 8 p.m. Pastor Minchung is flying in tonight. Let's pray for a safe flight, a restful flight, and that he gets here without any delays or without any issues. Let's pray for all the worship teams that are ministering, all the prayer teams, and especially just for the word. But most important, let's pray for our congregation, that there is a heart to come out, there's a heart to participate, there's a heart to really just join in this celebratory conference where we can come together, recognize God's faithfulness to our church, our 9th anniversary, and also just to really just deepen our prayer life as we really receive the word that Pastor Minchung has for us as a church here. Let's just pray for the conference this weekend. Yes, Lord, we just thank you once more today for your word. We thank you once more today for the calling you have on our lives. And Lord, we know your grace is sufficient for us, Lord Father. No matter what you've called us to, you will give us the tools that we need to succeed, Lord Father. So Lord, just give us the strength this day to live for you. Give us the strength this day to live out the calling you have for us, to be truly fishers of men in the spheres of influence that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you and love you. We just pray blessing over each and every one of the members here today as they go out into the workplace, into the field. Lord, use them today to be powerful ministers of you and that salt and light here in this city, here in this place. We lift this time up to you. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and have a wonderful day in Christ today.